Welcome to Leaders and Learners. My name is Tanya McKenzie, and you can find me at the intersection of public relations and leadership. Join us as we talk to organizational leaders, elected officials, experts, authors, artists, and personalities, sharing their stories, talking about how they got to where they are and how they continue to learn and lead the way. So without further ado, let's get into it. Greetings, good people. Welcome back to another edition of Leaders and Learners, South Bay Edition. Me and Paul are here to chat with you about all things South Bay, mostly Redondo. And, you know, anytime you guys want to tap in and have questions about what's going on in the South Bay, let us know and we'll bring those answers right back to you. Paul, what's going on with you? How you been?
It's a lovely day. It's been a wonderful couple of weeks with the city council. They've done a few things that had a little impact on the city. Sure, we can discuss those.
Absolutely. Before we get into that, I want to let you guys know someone's going to be hopping on from the NRBBA to talk about an incredible event that's coming up. It is bigger and better than you ever remember if you did bother to attend, but this year I'm sure you will want to. But before she hops on, give us an update on what's going on with the Galleria. I know so many people have been interested in this Galleria project. I even got kids come over here with my kids asking, when is we getting a new mall? Like, what is going on with the Galleria since there's been some updates?
Okay, so my understanding is that the people that are trying to get the Galleria redeveloped are looking for financing options, and they're not having the best of luck. So they have to sweeten the deal, and they're going to add 350 residential units to the project. Now, the project was originally zoned for 650 units because resistance from Brand's hand-picked planning commission, they reduced that to 300 units. So stick with me. So the plan got the original Galleria redevelopment was approved and was moving forward. Now it's stalled and it can't get its money, can't get any financing. It's having a tough time finding tenants for the retail section. So new financing is looking at, well, if you're zoned for 650 units, let's put 350 more units on the project. So that's what's going to happen. They asked Councilman Obagi to attend a meeting and explain it to him. They've been out talking to the community, especially in North Redondo, to say this is what we're contending with. We need to add these units to this project. They've actually already been approved. They're zoned for it, we should say. And that will help them get their financing so they can get the entire project off the ground. It's a good thing because this will actually, you know, get the project started. It is now a crime magnet and it's going to just get worse if they don't do something there. So the only, you know, hiccups they have to go is they have to, you know, put the plan forward and go to the planning commission in Redondo. There's a few planning commissioners going to have to eat a lot of crow. They fought very hard to stop all the residential development there, and now they're going to have to take it because the alternative is they don't get financing. We just end up with this derelict mall and it's just going to get worse. So it really sounds like some of the council members who were previously anti-housing are now very pro-housing. So we'll see how that plays out. But the good thing about it is the new residential units may actually reduce the retail size of the project, which may open up some more space. It's going to change the project significantly, but we're going to be welcoming some new neighbors if this thing gets off the ground. Everyone should know the additional 350 units probably won't occur for 10 years or so. It's going to take a while for that all get fully underway.
And I'm sure we are expected to have some other transportation opportunities once that happens also. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with the Green Line and how that works out. But it has the real potential to becoming this big kind of economic engine for Redondo, which we used to have there. And we have some budget problems, as people know, and it's because we just got all our old economic engines are just died. They've been killed because they haven't been stuck in this kind of limbo. With this anti-development council that we've had, it's just basically killed all the economic engines in the city.
I have some follow-up questions for you on that. I will get back to you in a second, though, because we are going to bring in Ms. Robin Garfield. She is a board member for the NRBBA, and she is the magician that's making our Spring Fest come to light. So excited to have you here, Ms. Robin. What's going on?
Oh my gosh. Hi. So good to be here.
Awesome. Let the people know a little bit about you, because I think this is your first time on the show, but you do a lot of stuff, and I want people to know what they can come to you for, because you are in our backyard.
I am. So I'm both a resident, and my business is based here in Redondo Beach. I am a nonprofit consultant and event producer. So I work with a variety of charities on all different areas. I've run a few charities in my time. And what I've really fallen into is events. So I produce events anywhere from 50 people, actually even smaller, 25 people to 20,000 people, literally, which is what we expect hopefully at Springfest this year. So,
and yeah. She's also an incredible mom and wife. We can't forget that. And she volunteers her entire life away at just about everything. So some nonprofit things she's working and some nonprofit things she's volunteering. I can't tell the difference, because even when she's volunteering, she's working her ass off. Pardon my French. But yeah, that's just a little bit about Robin.
Robin, could you tell us what Springfest is so everybody knows?
Absolutely. So it's been around four. This is our 41st year. So most people do know it as the carnival at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. So that's been around. It's been super popular, really fun, a great opportunity for families to get out and not have to go far. Some people can walk there. And it's going to be, you know, 4-day carnival, and starts on Thursday, April 25th. And goes Thursday night, we're going to do family night. We have $2 rides. Friday night, we have actually this year, something new. We have teen night, which we're going to have a DJ playing some tunes. Kids can hang out and with all their friends, and it's a safe place to go. So we'd love to get the whole community there. So if you have teens, tell your teens to come then. Of course, it's open to everybody, but we will have kind of a fun thing there. And actually, Teen Night is going to be hosted by Beach City's Alcove and Clear Behavioral Health. So they came in as our sponsors for Teen Night. So that was really exciting. And then Saturday and Sunday is all day, 11 to 11 on Saturday, 11 to 10 on Sunday. And what we have new this year, which I'm super, super excited about, is we have a main stage. So big stage, lights, sound, all that. And we're going to be having in the daytime community groups. We have Dance One. We have the jazz band from the high school performing. We have the salsa club. We have a bunch of kid bands from, you know, different music schools around, School of Rock, Coast Music, Music Connection are all going to have bands there. And then starting in the late afternoon around 5, we have some amazing local bands playing. We have Jeremy Buck and the Bang. We have Better Days. We have Joe's Band. We have Barley. So it's going to be super fun. And then one more new cool thing that we're having is, for the first time, a beer and wine garden. So I know. So you can get your little drink, enjoy the music. It is a free event, by the way. Anybody can come. Parking is free, although, you know, there's not going to be enough parking for all the people. So get there early. And, you know, admission is free. And you can... you can come and enjoy that. And if you want to have beer or wine, you know, we can do that too. So that'll be really fun. And then, because that's not enough, we are going to have a marketplace. So we're going to have different local vendors coming, and you can connect with them. And yeah, woohoo. We have jewelry. We have some great sampling opportunities. We have some brands coming in. You can get some cool products that they're going to give away. We have Just different opportunities there. So if there is anyone who wants to be a vendor, we do have a few spots left. So get in touch with me and we can do that. And then there's more. So we also are going to feature some student entrepreneurs, which is really cool. So NRBBA being a business organization, right, focusing on helping support entrepreneurs, we're going to have young entrepreneurs in a booth and throughout the weekend, and they can be, you know, have their cool little things they're selling, all homemade, handmade kind of things. And of course, you can't be at an event without food. So we're having a variety of food trucks there as well. Everything from Indonesian to ice cream to carnival food to Greek food. I mean, there's really a plethora of options. So all of that is going to be available. So much.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Listen, I want to know, and I know some of the people want to know, NRBBA is a nonprofit organization. So the money's raised, where is that going?
Great question. So we support community. So one, it pays for this event. That's why we can offer all this entertainment for free. And we also donate to various groups. So we support other community groups that, you know, in the community. We also, as I mentioned, support student entrepreneurship. So some of the local schools, Adams Middle School, they have what we call makers fairs. And so we have supported and sponsored those makers fair for young entrepreneurs. So and then we also put on free community events. So we have events coming up this year, like Dine Around, you have to buy a ticket for, but Walkabout and looking, you know, you can go and enjoy the North Redondo community and some other events that'll happen over the course of the year. And each week, the second Thursday of the month, we host a meeting in the morning at 7:45 a.m. at the Galleria. And, you know, we have speakers come in. Would love everyone to join us for that as well. It's we get a great group, and it's a great networking opportunity for both residents and business owners.
Awesome. Thoughts, Paul?
I love this event. It's like our county fair without the farm animals. It's just, I've gone several yes. times. It is just fun. It's just plain old fun. Because this, you know, the silly carnival games and just the atmosphere. And it's one of the few evening events that's open to the public that happens in the South Bay.
I was just waiting for her to just pull out 4-H because she just kept rolling with the additions. I was like, here we go.
I know. We actually cut out some things because I wanted to do even more. But, you know, and the other cool thing, you know, I have big ideas. The other cool thing this year, which we've never had before, is you can actually purchase an all you can ride wristband for all the carnival rides. And you get $5 off if you buy it in advance online, and that's really cool. And then you just come and ride the rides and have a good time. So you can do all that and don't have to wait on lines to get tickets or anything like that. So that's also going to be available. It just went live. So you can go get a wristband.
Get ready. And Robin, is there a website that has like the schedule of events and everything you need to know?
Yes. So if you go to actually nrbba.org, and then /Springfest, or just click into Springfest, it'll have all the information. We listed our trucks. We're putting the schedule up. We're just finalizing the schedule right now for the stage. So that'll come up in the next few days. I do want to do a shout out to some of our sponsors because we've really gotten the community involved and we're so appreciative of them. So, South Bay Credit Union came on board. They were one of the first and they're such a great supporter of NRBBA. Athens Services, have also come on and, I'm trying to think who else. Beach Life Festival is actually a sponsor of us. Okay. So they'll be there. And we are soon to be launching a opportunity drawing for 3-day VIP passes to Beach Life if you want to enter. So if you come to the fair, we'll also have tickets available online. You can enter that raffle or opportunity drawing and win those passes. So cool. That's pretty fun. Yeah.
Opportunity drawing. I like that. Now, before you get out of here, because I know you are a busy lady, are there any NRBBA updates that you can share with us right now?
So we have our upcoming meetings. Our next one is April 11th. Double check on that. So I hope, yeah, absolutely join us. We're going to be talking Springfest again, and some other exciting launches with that. And we also have our guest speaker. It's actually from SoCal Gas. He's going to be talking about, his name's Ben Steinberger, and he's going to be talking about gas. I know, exciting topic, but it actually is, because it affects all of us. And I think everybody does not like that bill when it comes. So, you know, he's going to help us, you know, understand a little more about it and how we can help out. And then the following month, I believe our speaker is Nicole Wesley, who is our fabulous superintendent for RBUSD. And so she'll update us on some exciting things happening. So every month we have that. We also do a raffle at each of the meetings. We have coffee, we have donuts. It's really a mix and mingle kind of thing. So our speakers are great, but also the community aspect. So I invite everyone to come out. And then in the fall, we'll have our Dine Around Artesia event, which was a sellout last year. All local restaurants get together, and I'll come back on and talk about that. And that happens in September.
It was a sellout because Robin handled it, but I digress. So let me ask you this while I have you here before you jump off. What is it about North Redondo Beach that you love so much?
Oh, my gosh. I could go on. Well, first of all, I've raised my children here, so that I love. I think it's a big city, small community, if that makes sense. So I'm originally from New York City. And so coming out here, it feels like it's big enough that there's so many opportunities to do so many things, but you walk down the street and you see people you know all the time. And it's that feel of community that I think I love the most is there's always a new restaurant. There's always a new, there's always something new to try, a new activity, a new group. I just got involved. One of our sponsors also is Rotary International, Redondo Beach. And I just got connected to that group, and it's a whole new group of people, and they're amazing. And, you know, so I think there's always something. And I think the other thing is, it's such a giving community. I really believe having worked with so many nonprofits, I really see people come out to support each other here and support events, support, you know, the charities. And it's just, I think that's a beautiful thing. It's, you know, they're just good people.
Yeah, they are. What would you like to see changed in North Redondo Beach?
I would love to see the Galleria project take off, because that I think will be really exciting for this area. What do I think should be changed? I think, you know, that's a great question. I think our schools are a little overcrowded, I'll be honest. And so I would love to see that changed. I would love us to have each kid have the most opportunity. And I don't think it's across the whole city equal, and adding more housing won't necessarily help us in that area. So I would like to see some work there. I think we need more money to renovate North Redondo. I'd love to see Artesia Boulevard, which is such an amazing street, but you know what? It needs help. It needs revamping. It needs color. It needs, you know, I love some of these new storefronts that have come in, but there's some great things happening. I think the Galleria hopefully will help trigger that a little bit more, but I'd love to see that thoroughfare really become what it could be. So that would be
what about as a parent? And you know, our kids are a little older now. They're probably not going to be home much longer, but as a parent, what would you like to see change?
I think that's a good question. I mean, I mean, I will say my kids have it better than I ever did. So, yeah. So I think they're pretty darn lucky just growing up here. Like I said, I think the schools, you know, and that's not a school problem. I think it's, you know, it's a city problem we have to work through. I think continuing to have safety be a priority. You know, I'd like to know my kids, even though they're, you know, middle and high school age, that they can walk out and feel very safe, which they do most of the time. But I think crime is definitely an issue and, you know, it's on the rise. And I don't think that's the fault of our police department. I think they're doing an amazing job. I just think we need, you know, more community support of that. And so, yeah, I think that's what I would like to see for my kids.
And, very thankful for Alcove.
I'd like to say, like, Robin, it's no exaggeration that the schools are crowded in North Redondo, because they're actually busing students from North Redondo to South Redondo schools, yeah, which is creating all the traffic, crosstown traffic that everyone says they don't want. So, right. All the housing up there could create even that, make that problem even worse. What right. I do love about North Redondo is the potential that it has to become just the economic engine of the city.
Completely.
And something so completely new and wonderful. If we can get the three North Redondo council people to ally together and work together, they can really shift the focus and totally change the trajectory of North Redondo if they'd only work together.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's so much potential. I think that's the great word for North Redondo. I think, you know, a lot has been done and continues to be done in the South. And I'm not, you know, not that I want to take anything away from them at all, but I want to take away enough that we get some. So,
and you deserve it. Everyone, we should share the wealth.
Exactly. Exactly. But I really feel like we are such a corridor here. We're right off the freeway. You know, we get people from so many surrounding communities. Just looking at this event that's, you know, the Springfest event, I see people already talking to me from El Segundo, and we have Lawndale High School that might get involved. And, you know, we're really in this amazing central area. I live three blocks from Manhattan Beach. I'm actually closer to Manhattan than I am Redondo, you know, in so many ways. But, you know, and Hermosa is right there too. So we're really the hub, in my opinion, North Redondo, you know, Hawthorne's right there. We have so many cities right around us that, you know, to not do that, we're really economically, we can be, like you said, like the juggernaut, the really powerful, you know, economic center of the area. If we can make that happen, that would be amazing.
Just got to focus the energy up there.
Focus.
Definitely. Focus. Well, we'll help. Will help.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else before you get out of here?
No, go and get Springfest wristbands. Come, everyone. Yeah, love to see everyone come out. It's four different days. Pick one, pick two, come back, come see the bands. I think it's going to be the best event we've had in a really long time in this area. So just want everyone to come out and do it. Yeah. And again, anybody wants to get involved from a business standpoint, just reach out to me. There's still some great opportunities to do that. So.
All right. Thank you, Miss Robin. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tanya. Thanks, Paul.
See you around.
Take care. Okay. Bye.
Thoughts?
I can't wait for Friday night at Springfest. It's a lot of fun. It really is. It's just a fun event. So I'm sure we'll be there at least one night.
Absolutely. I was taking pictures. I do not get on rides. I cannot compose myself well enough to, I don't act right. So I take pictures. I love it. So real quick, you know, you were talking about the Galleria project. For the people that don't understand how we got here, can you debrief that real quick?
It was a very unfortunate turn of events that there was a very anti-development thought, and just the prevailing thought of Redondo government at the time, and they fought it. And there's a lot of people that fought it. This was pre-pandemic when this was all planned, and we had somebody that wanted to invest a lot of money into the Galleria, saw the potential for it, and then it just got bogged down with just appeals and roadblock after roadblock. Then the pandemic had, and it just stalled everything really quickly. So the original developer pulled out, and we've got a different one now. And they also see the potential. The project's different now, but it's essentially just like, let's fix this. It has potential. Let's do this. They had pitched it. And then finally got the approvals to do what was 300 units of residential, a hotel, and some new retail space. And it's kind of what you might think is the Point up in Manhattan Beach, something similar, a lot of outdoor kind of lifestyle type retail. And it's great. But again, it was having problems. It's a bigger, it's three times the size of the Point. So it has some problems with its existing retail. They needed to keep getting try to get more and new retail in there to get the financing that they needed. They've had been struggling to do that. So again, they to get new financing now, this is probably what, 5 years down the line, they just have to add in this residential. That's the one thing about, people are anti-development. They say, well, retail doesn't work. This isn't going to work in Redondo. The one thing that always does work is residential. It always works. It's always a successful development. So I have no problem with new neighbors. I think they're fine. So they bring a lot of money to the city, because they go out and they spend, money at restaurants. They'll bring new life to the situation. So it's a good thing when they can get this off the ground. Hopefully they can do it soon.
I've spoken to other leaders around the South Bay about Redondo and development, and the going sentiment seems to be that big developers don't really trust Redondo Beach. And you actually have to have a trustworthy relationship in order for them to invest their time and obviously money in building here or becoming a part of building something new here. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, it's very toxic here. And I don't think people will, I don't think developers want to get near Redondo. They're just going to wait. It's slowly changing. And what's driving that is that the city's budgets keep shrinking, and our economic, revenues, our revenues used to be, our number one source of revenue in the city used to be sales tax. And then it was followed by transient occupancy tax, which is TOT tax. That's hotel tax. And then the third source of revenue, was property taxes. Under the last 8 years, it's flipped. It's completely flipped. And so now our number one source of revenue, our revenues are higher. They've gone up from 100 to 105 million, but our cost have vastly increased. So actually we're not keeping up with that. And our number one source of revenue now is property taxes, which is really not a good situation because, property owners and their personal money, they see their personal money going toward, these projects that sometimes they don't agree with. And they could say, like, I live in North Redondo and I want to see investment up here. My property taxes, and you guys are building a water park next to the ocean. So they just see, I think they're going to start seeing, more pressure on them to, spend the money much more wisely. We can't just keep shoveling money into the harbor. It's not fair to everybody else that lives in the city, especially when it's your property taxes. It's not the way it should go. So that's where we're at on that. And the developers just see it as a kind of a quagmire all the time. So they shy away from it. And I know that there were some very major developers that were looking in Redondo, and they just said, no dice. We're not going to bother with this right now.
I happen to believe that those that do not want new development here like that idea and actually do things to continue to keep people away from wanting to develop in Redondo Beach. Do you think I'm off?
Yeah, they've been successful, but it's it has a cost. It definitely has a cost, and we've seen that with our budgets, and we've seen that with our revenues and our revenue sources. So it's just, you can try to stop progress and you can't stop time, but there's definitely a cost, and we'll see more of that with the general plan and the updates that were done. Some of them are going to be good for Redondo, and some of them things didn't change. And what we've got going in some areas in the city, especially in South Redondo, isn't working. I don't see the PCH thriving in any respect. So that does need to change. But we'll talk about that when the general plan comes up. There's a lot more to talk. That's a big complex problem and something this whole city's going to vote on.
Well, what are some of the other city council updates that you have for us?
So last couple of weeks, it's been amazing. We got a new mayor, which is old news. They took less than 30 minutes to decide who was going to be the successor to Mayor Brand. And it was no surprise that they picked Jim Light. I had a feeling they picked somebody like him, but it ended up, because I didn't think Jim actually wanted the gig, and I don't know if he actually did at the time. But now he seems to have taken the role on rather well. But, you know, and a lot of people were very upset about the undemocratic way that it was decided. They could have taken 30 days. They probably would have ended up in the same spot. So it is what it is. He's just the interim mayor until the end of what would have been Bill Brand's term. And then and this is one weird thing about it was, Councilman Abaji and they put conditions on Jim Light to not run for mayor after his term ends in about a year, which I thought was really unusual. If the gentleman is good enough to be mayor now, why can't he run for mayor, you know, in the next term? I just didn't agree with that at all. I thought that was really almost like extortion or it's just unfair, really unfair that's undemocratic. You can't tell people they can't run for mayor. So I believe Jim Light will run for mayor, and we'll see what happens with that. What has become the number one issues in Redondo Beach in the last two council meetings is leaf blowers, which has turned into a real, you know, amazing thing. And yeah, they're horrible things. Leaf blowers make a lot of noise. They make pollution. They make dust. But they are necessary for people to get their work done. Everybody wants good-looking yards, and all the HOAs around here, they hire folks to keep the yards clean, and they do it at, you know, they want it done cheap. So they hire people that use leaf blowers. So we had a leaf blower ban in place. It's now been weakened, basically gutted. So there was a lot of upset people because there's some people work really hard to ban leaf blowers. I am personally surrounded by them on certain weekdays in where I live. They're a real nuisance, but it's also, it's one of those tough problems. It's one of those things that ends up, nobody's happy with the way it turns out. So it looks like leaf blowers are going to be back, electric leaf blowers, but essentially they're just as noisy and they create just as much dust. So it's just the way it is. But that was a rather contentious issue that people showed up and talked about. And it kind of split, you know, South Redondo, North Redondo. Also, pickleball. Amazing pickleball. Everybody loves it. Everybody wants to play it. There's not enough courts. There's not enough opportunity to play in Redondo. So they're pushing the council to add pickleball courts, which they did. There's going to be, I think, 8 new courts up in Aviation Park. And then possibly 2 courts in South Redondo at Alta Vista. And that became a big, big deal because it happened in just one meeting or so. And, you know, suddenly the South Redondo councilmen wanted more public input. You know, they didn't want public input when it came to picking a mayor at all. They did it in 30 minutes. But now we should talk to the people about pickleball. It wasn't, to me, and even Mayor Light just said, look, we're just going to dual purpose a couple courts in Alta Vista. They're going to get striped for either tennis or pickleball. And that's what we want to do. And, you know, and we're going to add these courts up in North Redondo. It's people want their recreation and it's great. It's just amazing how what a big, and then a lot of people support this. And that was the thing, the community comes out, everybody wants to play pickleball. So they're just pushing for courts everywhere. So it just seemed like a weird place for the South Redondo council people to kind of, you know, take a claim and to say, well, no, we need to hold off on that. But that's what they do. So we can expect that down the line. It's going to take a while. It's going to be a major construction project. It needs a lot of money. The courts are going to go up by Aviation Park, where there was always this talk of maybe putting a public pool up there, which I have never believed. For the people that don't know, that Aviation Park used to be a high school called Aviation High, closed, I think, in 1980 or 81. And they used to have a pool, and everybody thought, well, this would be a great public pool. It didn't happen. Every time I heard talk about putting a pool in up there, that was just rhetoric from people running for mayor. It just never really was going to happen. So it looks like we're going to get some pickleball courts, and that'll be great. Probably going to take a year or so to get them done or more. But we'll see. But that's the big.
Who's going to lose space? Like, what did they talk about? Where?
Just a open field that's up there. That's not being utilized for much of anything right now. If I recall correctly of what they were talking about, where they showed it. I think it's in pickleball courts. I don't think they're as big as tennis courts. So they're easily tucked away, but I believe that's where they're going to go in some unused space that's up in near that park.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. What else? City council.
It's been the last couple of meetings were long and rather dull. And
boring.
We'll say that it is nice to have a mayor in place that is who runs the meeting and tries to keep things going. Last night was a lot of kind of policy stuff that they're going to keep speaking about. There's something about housing bills that are coming from the state that they're going to take a position on. It's interesting to see that Mr. Barrett, the councilman from District 5, was not in favor of supporting a position of this housing bill. He was actually supporting the housing bill. He was not in favor of what the most of the council wanted to do, is be in opposition to it. So, I'm sorry, I've got that wrong. The housing bill was something that was going to try to keep corporations and investment groups from buying properties in mass to rent out. And they're just gobbling up all these properties that are out there. I don't think you can actually regulate that in the state. I think it's going to be a really tough thing to do. I don't think that bill is going to go anywhere. But Mr. Barrett was actually saw a lot of problems with it. And it was one of the first times in a while that I saw a very learned and nuanced discussion about policy. And it was really refreshing to watch, because he just really asked some great questions of people that were supportive of the bill. And how it would actually work. And it sounds like they've got a lot of work to do on that. So we'll see. But again, see, even when I'm talking about it, it's boring. It was just this really kind of wonky policy thing. And then beyond that, they you know, decided to regulate some parking along Hirondo, which is very close to my house. We had some people living in their cars there, because the parking spaces were free and you could park there 24 hours. So it was something they wanted to stop to. And then they did decide at the very end of the night about a large public art project that's going to be in South Redondo on the public art, the public works building. So that was just a kind of amazing situation, where it started at a $60,000 project, and it was for a mural on the two sides of a building. Actually, it could have just been one, but it's going to be two sides of a building. But this project somehow ballooned into more than twice that budget. And it's just seems like it got a little out of control, but they're still approving it. So it ended up being $90,000 for the mural, but the real bone of contention was there's $35,000 in traffic control that have to go on while it's being installed, which is even surprising to everyone on the council. They saw that number and they thought, that seems a bit high to put out road cones, but it's something that is necessary by the law. The real problem I had with it is they're taking that money from the public art fund, which if you know the ordinance and section K number 7 says you can't use public art money for services.
Right.
So, and I believe that's a service. It didn't land. They're going to approve the project. It's got to go through some final budget allocation, but it's going to happen. So $125,000 for this mural that's on a wall that's very vulnerable and not in a hugely public area. So I don't know. They're eager to get these projects done. Council members like this. They see a big pile of money. Our public art fund's just under $1 million. And they're ready to build or put up any kind of public art anywhere because it looks good on a resume. So if they get it done, great. I told them when I was on the art commission, for I was vice chairman for 8 years of the Redondo Beach Public Art Commission, I never would let this thing get to council at this the way it was presented. I learned you stick with budgets. I built tons and tons of public art. You don't just add 30 grand at a, you know, and expect it to get written off. And then that traffic control thing should have been really considered or reconsidered and say, well, we got to maybe do a different approach, because one, closing a lane of traffic on Catalina doesn't seem like it costs that much money, but it does. And also you can paint a wall without, you know, standing 25 feet away from it. So I don't know. I we'll just see. And this is no slight on the artwork or the artist. He does what he does. I just think it should have been researched a bit more and some other options. And if when people find out where this thing is, it's like, man, it's going to get tagged. And they've taken measures to prevent that or remedy that. But it's just not the most, you know, it's on this north end of Catalina. On the public works building, which is a great canvas, but it's vulnerable. So we'll see. That project will probably get off the ground in, I think, 6 months.
Well, before we get out of here, I'm going to go ahead and give you a quick update for the people that listen to this, because finances matter. And I'm glad you talked about the public art and where that money's going, and our city budget and where it's going. But money matters. And in the county, as the commissioner for alcohol and other drugs, we do have a bill, a bond that's going to be coming up on the next election, and it's called Fighting Fentanyl Bond Act of 2024. It's AB 1510, and it is going to cost $5.2 billion. So I wanted to make sure you knew that the people knew that it was coming up. As your commissioner, as your District 2 commissioner, it's important to understand that our meetings, we cover the new bills that are coming up that affect alcohol and drugs in our county. So really quick, the bond would enable the Fighting Fentanyl Bond Act of 2024, if adopted, would authorize the issuance of pursuant to the state general obligation board law of bonds in the amount of $5.2 billion for the purpose of financing, among other things, substance use treatment, harm reduction programs, supportive services for students, programs targeting drug trafficking, substance use treatment programs in prisons and juvenile facilities, and recovery housing and transitional homes for previously incarcerated individuals. This is something to help those that are struggling with fentanyl addiction. If there is something that you want to, you want to comment on this, you want to support it, or you don't, that's what our meetings are for. We always have public comment, and we do take that into consideration when we decide to support or, you know, let them know that we don't support something. So if you have any thoughts on this program, let us know. We take those things into consideration. And actually, any public meeting for office, any office public meeting, you guys have the opportunity to lend your voice. So don't ever, you know, don't complain about it after it gets passed, whether that's for Redondo or for the county. You have the opportunity to weigh in on these things. There's like 15 different bills that are floating around right now about alcohol and other drugs, but this one in particular, because there's a dollar amount attached to it, thought you might want to know. It's $5.2 billion, a lot of money, but there's a lot of people that need help right now. And fentanyl is destroying a lot of lives. So I don't know. Thoughts?
Well, I don't know anything about this personally, but it seems like fentanyl, you know, it's not like it's on the increase. It's what it's being introduced into that world unknowingly to the users. And that's where we're having the problems. People are getting, they're buying other drugs, but it's completely laced with fentanyl or has fentanyl. And fentanyl is so dangerous and so unpredictable. Most people don't even know they've taken it and then they're dead. So I can see this is it's a worthwhile thing to fight, because it just picks off people that have addiction problems. And it's super dangerous. And it's a dangerous thing, and it's worth addressing, because I don't think it's going to get any better.
No, fentanyl is not getting better. And the next drug we're dealing with is Trank. I did a little Instagram post on it, but Trank is the next one. So tranquilizers are being also laced into other drugs. So you have drugs now that is laced with fentanyl and Trank and a bunch of other things that look like candy that are just being passed around. So it's bad right now. And I do think that we as citizens of this city have a responsibility to hold our city council accountable when we don't have programs and we don't have funding for our youth, because those are the people that are actually being impacted the most. We don't have a lot of youth treatment centers in our county. So that's something else we're working on. But understand, when your city does not have resources for young people, they easily turn to these substances. And it's pretty heartbreaking right now.
Yeah. Pretty heartbreaking. As all communities, there'll be a death that pops up that no one expected. There'll be someone that unfortunately didn't know what they had, and it'll happen in our city, and it'll be somebody you just didn't think. And suddenly here it is, it's in our community. And, it's a shame, but that's just usually the wake up call that makes people take action.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, thank you for the updates today. I look forward to our next opportunity to get together. And, what else is going on with you before we get out of here? Anything new with you?
Looking forward to summer. It's coming.
Are you on a big vacay, or are you going to be around the South Bay?
I usually don't travel during the summer unless I go I go where there's no summer. I'll go to one of the polar regions or something like that, which is a possibility. We'll see. But traveling during the summer is getting more challenging. So sticking around here, there's plenty of fun things to do. And we got the beach, and that's free. I'll take advantage of that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for showing up today. Remember, if you have anything you want us to cover, let us know. Feel free to leave comments down below. And if there's any links that we've chatted about, I'll put the links for Springfest and maybe a few things that we talked about in the captions. And, stay connected. Make sure you share this with the neighbor, because these things are important. Awesome.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for showing up to the podcast, where we all know that the best leaders are lifetime learners. When you get a sec, take a moment, leave a comment. What do you think about today's episode? And share it with someone that you know could use the gems that were dropped today. Follow and subscribe. You don't want to miss who's coming up next. You never know who could show up here and what they could say. For your professional needs, marketing, PR, communications, and leadership, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Sand and Shores, or hit us up at sandandshores.com. Again, thanks so much for showing up. We appreciate you, and we'll see you soon. Thank you.